Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Verse 34, the words of the demon. Ha, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. At the end of the lesson, Jesus said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. So I said at the beginning, the text takes us down to Capernaum, where there in the synagogue there was a demon-possessed man, and in 2 days we have the Iowa caucuses. And I'm not going where you think I am on this, but it is important to understand these things. See, we lived in Iowa for two election cycles where there were caucuses and learned a bit about how the caucuses run. It's different from just going and voting. You see, you gather at a certain spot, Republicans and Democrats in their spots, and those who come declare who they're coming to support. And once they've declared that, then for a pretty good while, there's discussion. This is what's different. Everybody's trying to persuade everybody else. They're giving the reasons why I'm supporting this one, why I'm supporting that one. Why you should change your mind and come join us. And it's like you've seen these debates on television now. By proxy, you've got all over Iowa, in every town, you've got these debates going on. Fascinating. And then after that, they will again declare who they're for. Below a certain level, those coming to support that candidate have to give that up and decide where they're going to move. And so one after another gets dropped out until you have a certain number of candidates, and that's your final tally that you send in. Okay? This is why it's important for us to say these things in terms of those other things. Because of what was happening in the synagogue that day. Most of the sermons you hear on this will go down the path of Jesus is the one who casts out the demons, and he's the mighty one, and he has that authority and that power and that might. Let's do the more dangerous thing. And notice the words of the demon-possessed man. Examine those words carefully. Because he says, first thing, ha, what do you have to do with us? What? What do you have to do with us? He's not getting it, is he? What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Well, Jesus of Nazareth has everything to do with us as human beings. He was born for us. He made himself one of us so that he could come as the Savior. But listen to the second line. Have you come to destroy us? And I suggest to you that this is more than what is just on the surface. This is campaigning. This is trying to put Jesus in a certain light. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And you see, you put those things together, and the guys, or the demon is, creating in people's minds the idea, the image, well, the holiness of God is to destroy you. And if the holiness of God is to destroy you, Do everything you can to get clear of the holiness of God. There's nothing but destruction there. It's kind of obvious that it's a lie. But notice the campaigning. Because here comes the other shoe. You know what's been going on for the last 2,000 years? It is exactly this campaign. Exactly. Jesus comes to bring salvation. What does the devil want to convince the world of? Wants to convince the world that Jesus is not here to save, he's not here to love, he's not here to rescue, he's not here to deliver, but he's bringing the holiness of God in to take away your fun, to steal those little bits of life that you have, that you're hanging on to, and to impose the Ten Commandments, to make your life into beginning to end a misery of obedience. That's the campaign. For 2,000 years, the Christian church has stood out there in the world and called out to people and said, this is not why Jesus came. He came for you. He came to give you life. Quoting Jesus, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Yeah. Because I live, you will live. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. On that day you will have joy and no one will take your joy away from you. And we know this. We know this picture of Jesus because we've heard it. We've come to church. We sing the songs. We hear that gospel. We get the Lord's Supper. And how sweet it is. We know the grace of God. We know the joy of knowing God. We know the mercy of God. And for us, the invitation, the draw, the call, the attraction of this gospel of life and salvation is irresistible. And this here is only the beginning. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be beyond anything we've ever been able to conceive of in this life. It just keeps getting better. And this is our message to the world. We do not have a miserable, fun-hating God. We have God who loves life, loves it so thoroughly, and we have a Savior who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Because he loves giving that joy to us. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. It was worth it. The joy set before him, the joy that you would receive, the joy that he would share with you, so tremendous that it was worth being whipped and beaten and having a crown of thorns jammed on his head and having nails driven through his hands and feet, hanging there in shame and agony and bleeding and dying. The joy set before him was worth enduring all of that. Because that joy set before him was not simply that he would have his own joy over here, but that he would have a joy that he shared with us. And And we keep telling the world this. And the world responds with things like, oh, so how many commandments do I have to obey? No, 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 no. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus and his love, about Jesus and salvation, about Jesus and being set free, about Jesus who handles the sin, who deals with the sin, who washes away the sin at great price so that we could be changed. We could be refashioned from the inside out into his image and then share in eternal life. That's what it's all about. And the world says, so when do I have to start obeying those commandments? You see the issue. And we're trying to reach out and we're trying to say, no, it's not that. You still don't get it. It is about a Savior who loved you so much that he came to share the joy of heaven and eternal life with you. Now let me get serious for a moment. That's a battle that is not only fought out there in the world and on the streets of the world and with many in the world casting aspersions at Christianity and telling us that we just don't know how to have fun. I think living forever is fun. But that's what they say. But the battle's not only out there. The battle happens to take place in our pews, in our chairs. It happens to take place in our own lives. Because we wrestle back and forth with that same issue, that same caucus of Capernaum going on within our souls. Because there are times when you feel like it's a hard walk being a Christian. And that's the one side of that caucus trying to persuade the other. And then when that starts taking place, get to your Bible and open up those stories about Jesus and the love of Jesus. And get the other side of that caucus to talk back to the other. It happens deep in our souls when we wrestle with questions of joy or sadness. When we wrestle with, how do I look at the troubles that happen in life? Am I going to still walk along and see God walking with me? And if I do that, then I have something to say to the world. Or am I going to turn into the sullen Christian that says, and yes, I have heard it. Through decades, I have heard it. The sullen Christian who says, I'm a believer in God, and that's why I don't smile very much. That is a caricature. Are you a Christian? Yeah, because I better be or I'm in trouble. Do you go to church? Never missed a Sunday in church since I was a youth, and I haven't liked any of them. You come and worship God? Yeah, I hate the songs. I hate the hymns. Okay. This is that same caucus, deep within the soul and out on the streets and right in the middle of everything we do. And you know the battle is going on. It is going on. Because you see, in the synagogue at Capernaum that day, the reason why that guy called out like that was in order to persuade others. And there are these pressures, these pushes that come from the evil one to complain about what it means to be a Christian so that those who might hear us complaining about what it means to be a Christian will pull away from Jesus Christ. It's what he does. He's doing a campaign that he has done for 2,000... No. Since that garden. Do you really want to enjoy life and enjoy the whole world and live forever? Or would you like this apple? God doesn't want you having fun. Have an apple. You know about it in families. Kids, time to get up and go to church. Do we have to? You know about this. But what we've got is Jesus Christ, who came to preach the gospel, who came to tell the whole world about the love of God. You know some of these verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Because I live, you will live. This is our Jesus, who brings joy, peace, forgiveness, eternal life. We have a part to play in this. Part of that part is to read these promises of God and realize how sweet they are. And let that sweetness, let it temper all of the disappointments and hardships in life. And let it especially sweeten all of the blessings, and to realize, I'm a Christian. I'm held in the hands of God. That's the best thing ever. In Jesus' name, amen.